why we chose to release this report around the anniversary of the conflict in Ukraine is because there were already worrying trends. And when the conflict erupted, they accelerated. For example, the cost of grain in particular skyrocketed, and it was already high prior to the war. And so what we're seeing in one of the countries in which we operate, Somalia, where 90%, if not more, of grain imports are coming from Ukraine and Russia. So the cost of food rose. That was coupled with inflation. And as you know, sort of a generation worse drought and climate problem in Somalia. So that was one of the immediate impacts that we saw. You know, one of the other impacts that's important to point out is it sort of diverted global attention. What our report showed was, yes, there's a funding gap. The good news is there is more funding coming into hunger-related programs, but the need is far outpacing our ability to accelerate the funding. And Ukraine is just one example. I think you could point to lots of others that are happening, like in the Horn right now, and the droughts there, flooding in South Sudan, of course, the earthquakes in Turkey and Syria. So attention gets a little bit diverted as these other issues pop up.
Yes, sometimes it's not easy to make a direct link to the war in Ukraine. In your report, you mentioned that the war in Ukraine has had far-reaching ripple effects, and it's not only killing Ukrainians, but by raising fertilizer and food prices, it's also killing children in places like Somalia. Can you elaborate on that?
Definitely. So, you know, in addition to the 828 million people who go to bed hungry each night, as many as 50 million people in 45 countries are on the verge of famine. And the highest hunger rates in Africa are in Africa, where one in five people don't get enough to eat. So when conflicts such as the war in Ukraine or the climate crisis, I mean, the world needs to invest even more to help solve those problems. So as funds get diverted to help answer the call in Ukraine, which is important for us to do, we also need to find the resources to address those issues that started prior to the war, but only get worse as our attention gets spread thin. The stressors are many, and we feel that there's enough resources globally to help meet that need.
You operate in Sudan and South Sudan, and both countries are listed among the hungriest in the world. United Nations reports say close to 8 million people in South Sudan, for example, will not have enough food to eat through the 2023 lean season. And similar numbers are cited in Sudan, millions of people facing severe food insecurity. What global factors are contributing to hunger in these two countries?
We could point back to the import-export issue. So the global price of food has gone higher. My organization is seeing actually hunger in South Sudan, and Sudan is dealing with the ripple effects of climate. I think it's fair to say that a lot of the producers of climate, the net producers of carbon in the atmosphere, are coming from the more well-to-do nations, and it impacts most heavily the less fortunate among us. And in a place like South Sudan, where, you know, a fifth year of food insecurity is in front of us, and a lot of that is coming from flooding that's driving hunger, and that's resulted in two-thirds of the population being projected to face acute malnutrition. So while the connection is a little bit less direct, there is a connection for, you know, the globe coming together to fight climate and the climate-related issues, because it does impact the people in South Sudan and Sudan acutely.